Well, that was one of the Reliability songs for the longest time. And I've got Michael and Nathan Bell waiting on the phone. I'm just going to connect them up. Hello, have I got Michael and Nathan there?
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to the show, you two rascals. You two partners. In what I think is actually an amazing initiative. So I've just played Nathan's song for the longest time. Can you tell us a little bit about how that song came about and a little bit about Reliability?
Well, I was put with Reliability several years ago after I was in the psychiatric ward because I had a psychosis. They gave me NDIS funding because of my mental health issues.
Right, so I'm just hang on a sec there. I'm talking to Nathan Bell. You're one of the clients and now you're an employee of Reliability. That's right.
That's correct.
Right, sorry, do go on, Nathan.
Well, I was paired with Reliability because they knew, the mental health team knew that I was into creative art.
Yeah.
And they knew that Reliability could provide creative support. So I teamed up with Reliability and Michael told me we could start producing songs, so I started writing some songs. Now I'm a street performer. I write most of my songs while I'm busking on the street.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, that's right. And so I was paired with Tommy Mac-O-Caddick, who is Michael's younger brother, who worked for Reliability at the time, and we started producing this Tommy's version of For the Longest Time, which I wrote while I was busking. It was actually one of the first songs I wrote while I was busking.
Right.
And I asked Tommy if he'd like to perform the studio version of the song, because I like to get other musicians to perform studio versions of my songs, because I think they're a bit better than me at performing.
Are you saying, Nathan, that you think your strengths are in songwriting first and then performance second, perhaps?
Yes, because my voice suits punk rock more, and this isn't a punk rock song.
No, definitely not.
I do my own punk rock performances of my punk rock songs because I've got more of a grungy punk rock voice.
Right.
For songs like this, ballads and songs like that, I get staff to perform them for me.
Right.
And so it probably took Tommy about 3 months to record and produce the studio version of For the Longest Time. He put a lot of work into it. And as you can hear, it's turned out fantastic.
Yeah, it's really mellow and it's quite different to some of the other music that Reliability performs. Can I have with Michael's on the line as well. Michael, you started Reliability, what, about 8 years ago?
Yeah, that's right. About 8 years ago now, I decided to go out on my own and I saw a gap in the market. There wasn't really anything like what we're doing. Because a lot of the services weren't specific to mental health. We're starting to sort of pop up within the NDIS scheme. So.
Yeah, so Michael, can you back up a little bit? A lot of our listeners are familiar with NDIS, and I mean, it's getting a little bit of critical press at the moment, but fundamentally, NDIS is to help people with disabilities basically choose the kind of activities that they want to do and get back into the community. Is that a fair summary of what is the driving force behind NDIS to sort of allow people with disabilities to come back into the mainstream of community life?
That's definitely one of the core, foundations.
Mm. Yeah, I think you need to speak into the phone more directly, Michael.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just we're on the phone and you're down there in the Hunter and sometimes you can hear the distance.
Oh, right, okay.
No, that's much better, thanks.
Right. Yeah, so it's definitely about, embracing diversity and helping people connect with their communities and, not just formalise support services, but the coordination is a really important part of the scheme as well, where they can help to provide the connections with informal supports and improve. At its core, it's about improving quality of life for people.
But I mean,
how is the sound at the moment?
It's Medium. It's okay, but if you can make sure you're speaking right into your phone, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll much better, yep. Sorry, listeners, but we just have to get it right, especially with these technical people here who are into sound production. We can't have you.
This is the thing. we've got several studio spaces down here, but unfortunately, we couldn't use any of them for the interview this morning because I've got my 6-year-old daughter with us who's tagged along because she's sick and she can't go to school. So.
No worries, that's fine.
Sitting patiently at a local cafe that we're using the outdoor space in.
Oh, terrific. Well, no worries. Look, we had a little chat earlier this morning to sort of, you know, establish some bit of information. You've got 14 employees down there and what's the fundamental kind of operation that you do down there? You're based in the Hunter Valley, and two creative centres, one in Tyers Hill and the other in Cardiff in the Hunter Valley. But you really want to get the word out about the kinds of things that can happen with people with disabilities if they're given opportunities. So could you just describe a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, which is the reason why I started it. There wasn't really anyone offering these types of services. We attract younger clientele as well for this reason. We offer a lot of digital media types of skill development programs.
Mm.
You know, it's a very strong focus on capacity building. So,
yep.
Sound production, film and photography. What have we got? We've got, you know, animation, graphic design, a whole range of digital media programs, including the music performance program.
Yep.
We've also got, you know, a visual art, you know, painting, paper art, sculpture.
Film. Yeah.
You know, a whole range of visual art, more traditional style visual arts as well. And so, yeah, so I guess it's about providing, you know, more opportunities for people, you know, that are NDI participants that experience mental health issues. So, and what we found is it's been fantastic. The engagement with, you know, a lot of our clients provide a lot of positive feedback and talk about it, you know, making a big difference in their lives. So it's very rewarding work. And
can I just say, from my perspective, to have a service that empowers me to do the goal, to pursue my goals and to do the things that I'm passionate about is really positive for my mental health, because it, rather than taking the view that I'm disabled and need support, the service empowers me to pursue my goals and to establish myself and to do things which are productive and which further my future. So it's a very empowering service.
Well, I think from the community's point of view, Nathan and Michael, the kind of work that you're doing is opening up the door for people with disabilities to actually be, you know, contribute and be part of, you know, the whole. It just enriches the community with more cultural opportunities. I know we have some disabled artists up here who are absolutely extraordinarily talented. And but you know, I think you said to me, Michael, that you have about $150,000 worth of equipment up there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and I mean that's. That makes a huge difference, doesn't it, to a person who's already struggling with a disability. In your case, it's you focus on people with mental health NDIS support packages. But wow, how amazing! And what about the people that you have working for you? We chatted about some pretty amazing people. Nathan's pretty amazing, and he works for you, but there are some other industry kind of seniors, I guess you could call them.
That's right. We attract very talented staff. And, like, to give you an example, you know, people that have worked within the music industry for years and have a great deal of experience and technical expertise as well.
Yeah.
Like Colin Wright.
Yeah.
Colin Wright leads our sound production program as far as, you know, like he'll... we often get Colin to review work before it's released and published because he's got, you know, such experience and knowledge there.
Well, he's worked with
Yothu Yindi and some of the members out of the Midnight Oil band, and that's just to mention a few. I could keep going, but you know, a fellow recently joined our program about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
As an employee, and he was lead guitar for Ray Tattoo for 16 years. And
wow.
So, you know, a wealth of experience there. He also teaches at TAFE, but several days a week he works in his spare time. He works with us. But most of our, I'd say about 12 of our 14 staff all have university-level qualifications.
Right.
Or significant industry experience if they don't bring, you know, like a high level of academic sort of knowledge to it. So, yeah, we carefully select our staff. And I should also mention, because this is perhaps equally or even sort of more important in the space we're working in, is that most of our staff, I'd say it'd be about 12 of our 14 staff again,
yeah,
they bring their own lived experience of mental health issues to the role. So they're able to, I see that as an added value, that like someone that can relate to, you know, and it sort of it helps to take a bit of that power imbalance away, because it's a work, they are being paid for their work.
That's right. Well, it's so important too, isn't it, to be paid properly and to have your talent recognised financially.
Well, that's right. Yeah, but you know, they're being paid, so you know, we're not friends, although we're human and we certainly become like a friend to our clients. Like part of the family even, because we spend so much time together. But it's important that, you know, people have lived experience in this, in the space of mental health, because I think that there's over time, over the recent years, it's becoming, there's more awareness around it, particularly through COVID.
Yep.
Just how many people have started to experience mental health issues in the lockdown.
That's right, yeah. And subsequent, I don't think we've seen the last of it, especially with young people, you know, who had sort of really important developmental years kind of interrupted by kind of bizarre lockdowns and things with COVID.
Yeah.
One of the things we did talk about before, Michael and Nathan, was the fact that you offer a program for people with mental health that, I mean, if they didn't have a mental health problem, they could probably get some or access some of that experience through mainstream university and TAFE. But we discussed kind of why it's so important to have us. What's the difference about your program to, say, a standard TAFE or university?
Do you mind if I answer that?
Oh, I don't mind. I just want voices going out there.
The best thing about the program is that, as the client, the staff are there to support me and to guide me with guidance, but I direct what's happening.
Okay.
So, you know, I come in and I say, you know, it's my time, and basically I'm in charge to some extent of what is happening. So I say, I've written this song. I'd like to produce a studio version of this song, and this is how I'd like it to sound. And I get to direct that whole process. And there's a number of projects I'm working on, animation projects and visual media projects, where I'm really in charge of what's happening. So I'm empowered to sort of direct the process and to do the thing and to pursue my own personal vision for what I want the art to be like. And that's really what I find is unique about the program. The staff are to create my vision for what I want to create. So we can get straight in, and we can get straight into producing the content that I see in my mind, which is, you know, great for me to express my vision and what I want to bring into the world.
Yeah, that's a fantastic, Nathan. I mean, well, I was going to sort of say something a little bit more mundane, which was that it is quite difficult if you don't have good mental health to cope with, you know, the rigidity of formal education at a higher degree level, either through TAFE or universities, because I've noticed that in the olden days, if I was, you know, having a bit of a meltdown at university, I used to be able to go and see my lecturers and say, look, you know, this has happened. Can I have another week to finish off this big, you know, assignment? And they'd go, yeah, that's all right. You know, I can just get home, look after yourself and get on with it. But these days, everything's has to go through quite complex midnight submissions through digital processes, and it's pretty easy to muck that up or to fail a course just because you really are not, there's not that flexibility anymore. I don't know whether that's something that is relevant to the way you operate, Michael and Nathan.
Well, that's sort of what I was saying. We're very flexible, you know. I'm in charge. There's not this pressure of you must do this by this time or you fail. I'm saying this is what I'm setting out to do, and we work at my pace. So that relieves a lot of the stress, you know. And yeah. stress is a major trigger for me. If I'm under too much pressure or too much stress, then I will potentially start to feel unwell, and my mental health issues will emerge. So yeah. by being in charge, there's not these urgent deadlines. There's not all this added pressure. It's leisurely, and it runs off my level of motivation. Fortunately, I'm very motivated, so a lot is getting done.
I wouldn't like to get in your way, Nathan.
Oh, no, don't. I'm very driven. There's no doubt about that. I plan to be successful if I can in life.
Absolutely.
But I set the expectations, and that's sort of what I meant when I said I'm in charge. I set the expectations.
Yeah.
So I decide the level of pressure that I'm applying to myself while I'm working with staff. So I'm not going to have a breakdown because I can't meet the deadline.
Yeah.
If things are too stressful, I can say, you know, I need to ease off a bit, and I need to take a break because it's causing me too much stress. So that's why it's good that I'm in charge of what's happening as the client.
Yeah, terrific, terrific. And there's another aspect to this, isn't there? I think I'm going to ask Michael this one, just about, you know, the opportunities that open up for clients to start, you know, as Nathan has, to start working as mentors themselves. Is that part of the sort of big plan?
Well, it is. I mean, I'd like to see, I'd like to grow. And see, so how that happens, so Nathan's a good example of someone that's now working a regular casual hours.
Right.
But for the first, it was about 18 months, 2 years, it was supported employment for a while there.
Yeah, it was for about 2 years.
And, but, I mean, he just became such a skilled marketer that it became obvious that he didn't need support to perform the, you know, duties of that role. And so I was happy to move him across into generalised employment. And,
right.
You know, I'd certainly like to see that side of the program grow. Because I think that's the ultimate outcome, really. Like, is to have people, and it would be, I mean, it would be the ultimate goal. There is to for clients to achieve the recovery that they hope for.
Yep.
And no longer need NDIS.
Yeah.
At all.
And what about the use of the creative arts as a way of kind of bringing people from, you know, poor health, if you like, and poor mental health through to recovery? And did you see this? Well, would you like to say a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, we see this happen every day on a daily basis at our centre-based operations, where clients are creating art or music or creative writing that is... And oftentimes, I mean, it's based on their mental health experiences.
Mm.
And so And those experiences, it might have been about intersecting with mainstream health,
yep,
the medical model, and, you know, they may have been at the time quite frightening and negative experiences, but what we see happening is people creating powerful works of art based on and transcending those experiences and then being able to reframe them in a much more positive light. It's very transformative. It can be such a healing process when you're creating music or art like that.
Yeah, oh, it sounds amazing. And you're a small organisation, so you've got the opportunity to kind of, I suppose, get to know your clients and you've, I suppose... Is that something that's important to you, that's the size and what that delivers for your clients?
Oh, definitely. I don't want to grow for the sake of growth. I have seen that happen before, particularly when the NDIS was initially rolled out.
Yeah.
I saw services just doubling in size. It was growth that wasn't sustainable. I mean, quality of service, I mean, the quality assurance aspect of it changed immediately when you grow that quick because, you know, an organisation needs time to adapt. And, you know, I saw managers with, for lack of a better word, like caseloads of, you know, having... You know, maybe 15 staff to manage and supervise and performance manage and train and provide all that support to staff and the client base. But then, you know, that doubled in size, and these managers just didn't. People weren't getting their supervision. You know, the quality of the service was impacted. I would like to grow it gradually. And reach more people because it's. You know, I think there needs to be more services like we have. Like we need to provide increased opportunities for people that aren't always suited to mainstream programs.
It's amazing. And look, you've got some real success stories under your belt. I think you mentioned a young lady called Jess, who's just been very prolific.
Yeah, Jess is with our support. She's a really talented songwriter and performer as well, but she's released a fifth album with our support. And she's worked very closely with Colin in recent couple of years. But she's also a incredible visual artist and has put together a play... which she intends to launch her own musical, which is like a mixture of animation on a big screen, live theatre performance, and her own original soundtrack. So we're really excited. Perhaps we could do a story about that.
Yeah. Sounds amazing. Well, listen, we just want to wish you all strength, and we'll be very happy to play some more of your music. We played Amen, which was another one of Nathan's songs, I think, earlier on. And Nathan, do you just before we wrap up, do you just want to explain what that song was about?
Amen was a man who lived in Hamilton, and when I busk in Hamilton, Eamon would come by sort of every few days as he walked up the street because he lived on the street that I street perform on.
Yeah.
And he was one of my regular customers. He bought my book off me. He bought a couple of pieces of art off me. And unfortunately, Eamon fell down the stairs at his apartment block and cracked his head open. He was in a coma for a week and then he passed away.
Oh, that's tragic.
He was 43. So for me, the song... To me, the song is about acknowledging that this man lived and that he existed so that someone remembers him. Because, you know, it's sad when people die young and they end up being forgotten So I want people to know, because he was a nice man, you know. He was a good man. He was always friendly to me.
Yeah.
So I just wanted people to know that this man, Eamon, lived.
Fantastic. Oh, that's beautiful. Look, thank you so much, Michael and Nathan, for talking with us today. I wish you all the best. I know you've got a very serious, hardcore, if you like, goals underpinning your business to actually bring people who, you know, present with a disability through the NDIS and bring them through that, through creative arts, into a much, much higher quality life. And bless the rest of the non-NDIS community with, you know, beautiful music and art. So just want to thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having us on the show. We appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit more about what we're getting up to, and we look forward to chatting again in the future and sharing some more of the good news if you're open to that.
I'm certainly open to it, but I'm gonna have to practice saying your surname, Michael. Look, I've been talking. say that again, Mike. I'm talking to Michael. You say it, Michael. Mac O'Katic and Nathan Bell. They're both from Reliability, based in the Hunter Valley, but offering a brilliant model of social enterprise to bring people with mental health challenges, I guess, through the creative arts into wonderful music and other performance creations. So thank you so much.
Thank you for... I appreciate your patience with the background noise today as well, listeners.
Okay. Well, I don't think there's anybody that hasn't had an unscheduled childcare obligation here and there. Thanks so much, guys.
Great.
Well, that was Nathan and Michael, a little bit chaotic there down at, I imagine it might have been Macca's or somewhere like that, because the number of children seemed to build up, didn't it? But what a great job they're doing, and I'm looking forward to playing some more of their music. We love to play local music on community radio, but this is even more special because it's the music that comes from, you know, the healing process of people with quite, you know, very severe mental health problems just coming through the program, that Reliability that Michael Mac O'Katic and his team are offering. And who knows, they might come and pay us a visit here in the flesh at some point. But very inspiring.